evening, everybody. Good to see everybody here once again this evening. Good to be here in the Lord's house once again. We've had a good week so far. I think we've all really enjoyed it. It's been good to be in the Lord's house every night. It's been a good service, been a good fellowship, good hospitality and all those kinds of things. And we're thankful for this church and thankful for Brother Clint and thankful for everybody here. However, you know, Brother Clint, as he was talking there about the lost souls that are out there and talking about the lost ones that are out there that we need to be witnessing to, I think about us as we're all gathered here looking for revival. You know, we mentioned it Monday night. It's not the evangelist that brings revival. It's not anyone else that brings revival. We need to be looking to God for this revival. We need to be looking to Him to see what He has to say to us, and that we might look to ourselves and examine ourselves and see where we're at. You know, too many times we get lost and caught up in the things of this world and get caught up in ourselves, but we need to be looking to God. And that's exactly what our study has been this week, talking about God is. God is the author. God is the creator. And tonight I want us to think about the power of God. God's power and how we see God's power in His book, how we see God's power in our lives, and how we see God's power in all things and everything that's all around us. So if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, let's look in verse 7. We'll start reading there. He says, whereof, this is Paul speaking once again to the Ephesians, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less and not the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the all fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to You once again tonight, asking forgiveness of our many sins and our many failures. And Lord, we ask once again tonight, You bless the reading of Your Word and You bless this message tonight, Lord. And Lord, You bless that it goes forth the way that You intend for it to go forth, Lord. And Lord, that You just remove me from it. And I'm just a vessel delivering Your message tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone that's gathered around tonight, Lord, to hear Your Word, to hear Your message. As we all come seeking revival, we can all come to this place seeking revival, Lord. Lord, that we all might examine ourselves, that revival starts within each and every one of us. And Lord, that we all might examine ourselves, that we might let the Spirit move within us and quicken us and show us our ways and show us our wrong ways and show us where we need to repent. Show us where we need to rededicate. Show us maybe that we're lost and that we're bound for the pits of hell, and show us the sinner that we are. Oh Lord, tonight that we might see movement amongst the people. That we might see movement amongst even the ones that's attending on the internet via live stream or however it may be, Lord. But Lord, that we might see revival. That we might see revival in this place. That we might see revival in this land. That we might see revival, as Brother Clint said, in Wayne County. Seeing souls saved. That's what we're here for tonight, Lord. Lord, we stand here to preach the gospel. We stand here to tell others about you and your son that died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we're not worthy of none of it, but we're thankful for that tonight. And we're thankful for that grace and that mercy. Forgive us once again, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Once again tonight, we're looking at God is what? And as I mentioned a while ago, we're going to talk about God is the power. Now, to go back and to refresh a little bit and refresh my granny and refresh my dad, how about that? We started Monday night talking about God is the author. We stand here and we hold the Word of God in our hands and God is the author of it. And yesterday and last night we talked about God as the Creator. How He didn't need man to create anything that He created. And Clint brought it out there at the end of the service last night about how man would have just made a gom of everything that he would have done if we was part of it. But God did not need us to create the things that He created. God didn't need man to form the things that He formed. And God formed us for His honor and for His glory.
Yeah, that's
right. So tonight we look at this and we think about, as we're looking at the Word of God and we hold the Word of God and we're talking about getting back to the basics, folks. That's what we need to do. We want to be revived. We want to be refreshed. We want to get back to the basics of who God is. And I think, as a whole, everyone has lost sight of who God is. But God is tonight the power. Now, we live in a society, we live in a day and time that power goes far beyond what it really means. People want to think about power as far as being rich, as far as being wealthy, as far as having physical strength, as far as what they might be or who they're elected to. Can I tell you something tonight, folks? God's power is all that matters.
Right.
Because we're all created the same. I don't care how much money you might have in your pocket. I don't care what office you might hold. I don't care where you might think you are. God is the one that's in control.
That's right. Amen.
God is the one that has the power over all things. If He's the author and He's the creator and He's the one that created mankind, can I tell you something tonight, folks? He can take mankind out of this world.
That's right.
And He can take you out of this world tonight, folks, if He so desires. He has the power tonight, folks. He's the one that has all the power. And that's the power I want us to think about tonight. I want to think about this spiritual power that God has. I want us to think about the power and ability that God has to get a hold of somebody like me and you. To get a hold of the wretched sinner that we are. To get a hold of the person that we once was. As Brother Gordon talked about, we all have a past that we don't even like to talk about. But you know what? God brought us out of that. He brought us out of those places and He delivered us out of those places for those of us that are saved. And I want us to look at and I want to show us tonight, if you're lost tonight, God can deliver you. God can bring you from those places. God can bring you from the bondage of sin that you're living in. God can deliver you from the things and the darkness that you're living in, that you're struggling with. God has that power and God has that ability. And it's only God that is able to do those kinds of things. And once again, as we said, all things are centered upon Him and His will and His glory. And that's what God's power is centered upon. His will and His glory. You see, God's power comes in so many different ways. His power comes in so many different ways. You know, we think about Christianity in the New Testament. We think about the church. And we think about all these things that come to pass and how the church was formed and how Jesus Christ came here on the earth. And we think about the disciples and we think about all those that followed Him. And we think about Jesus when He walked here on the earth. He was mocked and He was ridiculed and there was some that followed. He had many that followed. Then He had a few that followed. Then He had a few that followed. And all of a sudden there was nobody as He hung there on that cross. He had the power and He had the ability to take Himself on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord and our Savior, the one that hung there on the cross for your sins and for my sins, very well could have removed himself from that cross. There wasn't no one that hung him there on that cross. There wasn't no one there that crucified him. He came for a purpose. You know, we think about the Apostle Paul, and we're reading about the Apostle Paul tonight, and we read about how this power and this working that was in him, he said, whereof I was made a minister, verse 7, according to the gift of grace that was given to me by the effectual working of his power. Let's be reminded of something tonight, folks. Who was Paul? Paul called himself the chiefest of sinners. You know why Paul was the chiefest of sinners? This was Saul we're talking about now. He persecuted the Christians. He had Christians put to death. He was doing everything that he can to dissolve the Christians, if you will, to destroy the Christians, to destroy the church. He had Stephen stoned to death, and even Stephen, as he was there and as he was proclaiming God and proclaiming Christ, he had him stoned all the way to the end. But it took God's power to get a hold of a man like Saul. Saul wasn't seeking God. Saul wasn't looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul didn't have no desire to become a Christian because Saul wanted all the Christians to be done away with. But God saw a man like Saul. And he said, I'm going to take that man. I'm going to take the one that's been persecuting the Christians. I'm going to take the one that had a Christian stoned and put to death. And I'm going to transform him. And I'm going to use him. And he's going to be one of mine. And he's going to write all these letters to these churches. He's going to go to prison for writing these letters and proclaiming my name. And I'm going to use him. And he's going to be the greatest missionary there ever was. A man like Saul. You see how God can work? He took a man that was persecuting Christians and made him one of the greatest disciples there was. God also has power to protect us and to enable us to do things that we can't even imagine we'd ever do. Now we're going to look at all these scriptures and go back to them here in a little bit, but I've got some notes here I want us to read and I want us to think about. But we think about Paul, and we think about Paul, how God protected him. You remember when Paul first started preaching? And he said, I can't go there because they're not going to believe in me, and they're going to be scared of me, and they're going to be afraid of me. And he said, go and do it anyway. Because God had a plan. And it was for his glory. It was all for God's glory that he would use Paul the way that he used him.
Right.
And you know, we think about us, and we think about it in our lives, and we think about, look at me and Brother Clint, for example. Being called to preach, being called to be ministers of God. Me and my dad, being called to be ministers of God. Can I tell you something tonight? There are people in this world that might not believe that we're doing what we're doing, and we're doing it for His glory. But can I tell you something? I don't care. I'm serving my God. I'm working for my God. And it's all for Him. It's all for His glory. We're called to work for Him. And as Christians tonight, and I look around and I look around at us, and if we profess to be Christians and we profess to be followers of Christ, we're all called to do something. We're all called, as Brother Clint said, to go out and preach and teach the gospel. We're called to go and to work and to serve and to tell others about our Lord and Savior. However, we seem to forget that call. We seem to want to put it off on the pastor. We seem to put it off on the preacher. We seem to maybe put it off on the deacons. We maybe seem to put it off on social media or whatever it may be. We're all called to that for His purpose, for His glory. But God in His power, He's able to protect and He's able to enable to do the impossible. You know, kids want to look to the children's stories, if you will, the Bible, and sometimes it's good for us even as adults to look back. But you think about Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den. God protected him there. He was surrounded by all those lions, wasn't he? And the lions lay there and slept. Folks, we're going to face these lions. We're going to face these battles. We're going to face these giants as David faced the giants. You know what? God protected David. God protected Daniel. He was there for him. What about when Daniel was thrown into the fiery furnace? He was protected, wasn't he? Matter of fact, he got in there with him. When they looked in there, they was four. My Lord and my Savior, my God, the Creator of the earth, the author of the Bible, is the one that allows me to stand here tonight. Is the one that allows you to be here tonight. Is the one that has enabled you to be here at Grace Baptist Church tonight. We come seeking revival. We come seeking His will. We come seeking His glory. When you remember who God is and what He's capable of. Think about His power in the resurrection. Let's think about Lazarus for a moment. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Our Lord and Savior knew he was dead. Our Lord and Savior knew what he was doing, but yet he waited 4 days.
Right.
And he got there, as the song says, he got there just on time. He got there exactly when he needed to get there. He got there exactly when it was going to be for him and for his glory.
Right.
He didn't get there when it was going to be convenient for Mary and Martha. He didn't get there when it was going to be convenient for his friend Lazarus. He got there when he needed to get there.
Right.
And when he got there, he took care of the business that he needed to take care of. He raised Lazarus from the grave. Our Lord and Savior talked about resurrection as he hung there on the cross. When he hung there on the cross, he didn't leave his body there on the cross. He was wrapped up in the grave clothes and he was buried in the tomb just the same way as Lazarus was. And he was dead. D-E-A-D, dead. He wasn't asleep. As the disciples thought Lazarus was. He wasn't asleep. He was dead. And he laid there 3 days. Laid there 3 nights. And 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. My God rolled that stone away. And my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, was resurrected.
That's right.
And he conquered death, hell, and the grave. As I said the past few nights, nowhere have I saw man in any of this. Nowhere have I saw man as being the author. Nowhere have I saw man as being the creator. And nowhere in all these things I just shared with you do I see man in any of those things. It's all God, folks.
Amen.
So we look at Ephesians 3 and look at what Paul is saying. And how this letter he's writing to the Ephesians, to the church of Ephesus. But in verse 8, he says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." What a humble statement Paul was making there, because Paul knew exactly who he was and how undeserving he was of that grace. But it was God in his power, it was God in his riches, it was God in his abundance that he took the man like Paul. Mm-hmm. Folks, when I look around tonight, I see everybody just the same as I am. You might say, well, I'm not that ugly. No, but we're all sinners.
Right.
We're all sinners sitting here tonight, folks. Mm-hmm. We have all come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. I've told my church before, I don't care how well we try to dress it up. I don't care how well we try to cover it up. If I wore my sins on the outside before y'all tonight, and I saw your all sins on the outside, we'd all look at each other different. Because we're all sinners tonight.
Yes.
And we're all needing God's grace. And we're all needing God's mercy. And we all need God's power in our lives. Why did God choose someone like Paul? Why did God so desire to have a man like Paul? For his glory, for his benefit. Because he knew the testimony that Paul would have. He knew the writer that Paul would be. He knew the missionary that Paul would be. He knew the servant that Paul would be. You see, God uses people that He knows He can use. He uses people that He knows that will serve Him and give Him honor and give Him glory. He has called you tonight. He has saved you tonight for His honor and glory. Not for you to sit at home, for those of you that are here tonight, ain't sitting home, but for the others that are sitting at home with their feet propped up on a Wednesday night, they need to be in church. They need to be worshiping God. They need to be giving Him the glory.
Amen.
And I think about wanting a revival. And I think about not only Grace Baptist Church, but I said Garland Hills Baptist Church on that, and all other area churches. There's a sign up there that says revival tonight, 7 p.m. How many people do you think that drove by that sign and not given two thoughts? I don't know how many people drove something down that road, but I guarantee you it wasn't. What happened to the fear of God? What happened to the love of God? What happened to quench not the Spirit? What happened to grieve not the Holy Spirit? Because that's what people are doing tonight, folks. They drive by and see revival and they don't give it two thoughts. I dare say, my granny, I mean, my granny, for example, she'd probably tell you, 60 years ago, this place would be running over with people when they drove by and seen a revival. What is happening to the fear of God? Can I remind you of something? God's power is still there. God's power is still there, and He's still capable of doing all things that He wants to do. His power is all around us tonight, folks. We're all sinners sitting here. And there's most of us that are saved that are sitting here tonight. We come in and we sit down, and it's Wednesday night, and it's the third night of revival. I'll be glad when this is over with. This has been tiring. This has been worrisome. This has been that. This has been this. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're grieving the Holy Spirit, folks. The Word's been spoken this week. God's Word's been spoken. It's been preached. It's been sung. It's been all these things. But yet we come in and we go through the same motions over and over and over and over. We punch a clock coming in. We punch a clock going out. And we go home and watch Wheel of Fortune. What's happened to revival? What's happened to the Holy Spirit moving within us? Back over there in Ephesians. Verse 20, he says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Think about what those words say right there for a moment. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's who God is tonight, folks. That's the God of your life. That's the God of this world. That's the God that we're here to worship tonight. And that's the God that we're looking to tonight. Is the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Right.
You know, we ask God for all the things. We ask God for this. We ask God for that. God does a whole lot more than we ask. Mm-hmm. He's working behind the scenes, if you will, folks. He's even things that we might ask for. He might be pushing to the side and protecting you from something that you don't need, and He's giving you this. Over in Jude, verse 24, pretty much says the same thing. It says, "He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." That is the power of God we're talking about tonight, folks. He's able to keep me from falling. He's able to present me faultless before Jesus Christ. By His blood. By His power. Folks, I'm a sinner the same as you're a sinner. And it's so easy to go back to the man that you used to be. But it's God's power and it's God's protection and it's His hand that covers us, that protects us, and leads us along the way. He's there to guard us. He's there to shield us. And He's there with us everywhere that we go. As lost people here tonight, folks, God's power is all around you. God moves in all sorts of ways, and God protects you in all sorts of ways. Can I tell you something tonight? God brought you here tonight. You didn't bring yourself. You didn't get in the car and drive yourself. You might think you did. You might have planned on coming here because it was convenient and you was off work or this or that and you was able to be here. No, God brought you here. God had this night planned out all the way back. Of course, says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He knew this night would happen this very night. He knew this hour would happen this very hour. And He knew where you would be at this very night.
Amen.
And he knew what he had chosen. He knew what he had planned. And he knew what he had called you to do. As a sinner that you are. God's got plans for all of our lives. Do you think Saul, as he was stoning Stephen to death, ever thought of all those journeys he was going to have to take? I don't know if that map's got them on there, the maps back in my Bible's got them, maps in our church's got them, but all the missionary journeys that Paul took. You know, we think about the miles that we put under ourselves. Brother Clint probably put some. I know my dad's put a lot under me, under him. I put a lot of miles under me. Paul put his under him. Put maybe on a camel, I don't know, but he done a lot more walking and a lot less driving and a lot less flying and a lot less internet. What if Paul had something as simple as the internet? What if Paul had what we have? What if Paul had the convenience that we have for people to sit at home and watch revival service? Would Paul have videoed and let people sit at home? No, Paul probably would have went to the door. Hey, what's going on? We're having church down here tonight. Come on, let's go. God's power works in all of our lives in so many different ways. Look back at chapter 2. Or Ephesians chapter 2. It's a common theme, it's a common scripture that we as Christians, that we as Baptist churches, that we as Sovereign Grace Baptist churches, that we as one of the called, believes in the call, believes in the election, we read this so many times. But I want you to follow along as we read it, and as we read it slowly, as we dissect it. But it says, and you, who's you? Point yourself at you, at me. Have ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Who quickened you, God? How did you come to that, God? You didn't get there on your own. You didn't desire to be saved on your own because in your mortal flesh, you would stay where you're exactly where you were. But it says, you who have quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. There's Christians tonight, folks, that are still walking by the world. There's lost people amongst the church tonight that are walking amongst the world. But it says, it's you who have been quickened and walking according to the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. At one time, folks, he was following Satan. We said last night, you can't serve two masters. One time, we was all Satan's children. We was all walking in darkness. We was all walking in sin. But God chose us, and he loved us enough to be children of his, by his power.
Amen.
Among whom also we all had conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Do we need to be reminded of who we are tonight, folks? We was once that person. We was once that individual. You want to think about Paul and you want to point fingers at Paul and say, I can't believe he's done that? I can't believe I've done what I did. I can't believe you did what you did. But it's you who have been quickened. And then verse 4 it says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You talking about the power of God. You talking about the love of God. You talking about the old wretched dirty sinner that I was. But God. That he was rich in grace and mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not a gift. Yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing in there that gives Jonathan's name, gives Gordon's name, gives anybody here his name, that says you save yourself.
That's right.
Paul did not save himself. If God had so desired and so be it, he would have been persecuting Christians all the way to the end. But God saw Paul for his honor and for his glory. Gordon gave a little bit of his testimony up here a while ago. God knew the man that he was going to be. God knew the singer that he was going to be. God knew the song director that he was going to be. God knew and had a plan for him. There may be lost among us tonight. There may be afflicted among us tonight. There may be someone that's backslidden among us tonight. Can I tell you something? God's power is still working. God's power is still there. His Spirit is still moving. His Spirit still quickens you that are dead and your trespasses and sins. God still works today, as Brother Clint said. You know how we know God's still working and God's still saving? Because we're all here.
Right.
He's still working and He's still saving. And He's brought you here tonight. He's brought you to revival tonight. And I want to ask you something tonight as you're here looking for revival. Once again, are you looking to the minister? Are you looking to the pastor? Are you looking to the minister's family? Or are you looking to yourself and you looking to God? Because it's you who God has quickened. It's God's Word that works and convicts, and one day we're going to stand before Him and the book is going to be opened. But God in His power and in His mercy and in His grace chose someone like you, chose someone like me. And when He died on that cross, He knew us all by name. The names have already been written down in heaven, folks. We sing that song at Rolling Hills. It's called There's a New Name Written in Heaven, but we take the new out and we say there's a name written down in heaven. My name has already been written down, and if you're saved tonight, your name is already written there. And if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, He's waiting, He's working, and He's stirring in your heart by His power. By the power of the preaching, by the power of the gospel, by the power of the Word of God, He is working tonight, folks. And He knows your heart, and He knows your sins, and He knows the darkness that you're in. And He can deliver you. The song says He's able to deliver you. Though my sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. My God is able to deliver you. He delivered the sinner that Paul was. He delivered the sinner that I was. He delivered the sinner for those of you that are saved that you were. And if you're lost tonight, if you're walking in darkness, if you're walking in the ways of this world, He can save you tonight. Maybe you're saved, and maybe you're backslidden, maybe you're going through whatever, maybe whatever you're going through. God can quicken you. He can lift you up. He can stir in your heart, and He's waiting to use you. You know, when I look back on my life, and I look back on things that's taking place in my life, and I look to where I'm at standing here right now. I've said it so many times, me and Lisa just talked about it. I could have never planned none of this out. Brother Clint could have never planned his life out. Who would have thought? And I'll give you a little testimony. And I've used this at Rolling Hills. Several years ago, Dad, think back to this. That's all we done was live to fish. We lived to fish. And when I say live to fish, that's all we done. Friday night, Saturday night, I ask the boys, every time we cross the bridge, they're like, you can catch a Kentucky bass looking out here. We lived to fish. And every Saturday night, we was at Burnside Island, I'm about to say Marina, fishing tournaments, okay? That's what we done. We lived to fish. It got to our heads. That's that. We got the mind. Why? Because we was to be feared. I'm not saying this in a boastful way. I'm telling you this for example. My shop that I worked at began having fishing tournament. Me and Dad partnered up, and they didn't like it because we was taking their money. So we had a tournament one night out of Conley Bottom. And me and Dad had decided, all right, we won't fish together. Tyler, you go fish. You fish wherever you want to. We'll just go take the money and we'll, whatever. No big deal. I fished with Lisa's brother that night. Well, I got in a boat with Lisa's brother that night. They decided they was going to shotgun us, meaning they turned everybody loose at the same time. Now, for those of you who don't know about Lake Crumlin or Conley Bottom, or how Bass Tournament goes. When they say go, you go. And everybody knew about where Tyler was headed. We shotgunned out of Conley Bottom, and I started around Crumlin Point. And that's as far as it got. There was a houseboat sitting there anchored on Crumlin Point, and there was a line of trash all the way across the whole lake. And there was a spot just wide enough for my boat to go through or this other boat to go through. The other boat decided he was going to try to take the hole. And me and this other boat had had incidences before. He took the hole and I took a hard turn to the left. When I took a hard turn to the left, that was it. And I can't swim. I swim like a rock, let me tell y'all. But when that boat turned over, I knew what was taking place. And I never let go of that steering wheel because I thought, this is it. Logan was 6 months old. And I seen all that take place. I seen all my life come for me. As that boat turned over, my brother-in-law went over top of me. I don't know how long I was under the water. It seemed like eternity. My brother-in-law come under the water, pulled me out. I just happened to be, I was caught in a pocket of water. The way the boat had turned over, I was caught in a pocket of water, but I had a death grip. They had to pry me from that steering wheel. And when they pulled me out, put me in another boat, took me back to the dock, took me to the hospital. I had dislocated my shoulder. But I'm going to tell you all, I'm telling you this to tell you this. I wasn't doing what I was called to. And I was running for everything I had in me. I knew I had a little boy that I needed to have in church. Me and Lisa had talked about when he'd get back in church, when he'd be doing this, when he'd be doing that. And the whole time I'm like, well, let me do this and I'll get around to that. That trip from Conley Bottom, the Lake Crumlin Hospital, was the longest trip I ever took in my life. My brother-in-law was driving my truck, pulled up my empty trailer. And I cried all the way there. Lord, I'm yours. I'm done. I'm done fighting. I'm yours. Let me get through this. In my mind, I was still grounded. Right? Let me get through this. Let me get over this. And I'm yours. And here I stand tonight in Monticello, Kentucky. Can I tell you something? I have not floated a boat on Lake Crumlin since. Do I still fish? Yes, I do. It's a whole lot slower and a whole lot low key. Do I think back on those things? Absolutely. But I look back and it's God's grace and God's mercy that He's brought me to where I'm at. And I see His hand working, and I see His hand working, and I see His power all in my life and everything that I do. And I tell you that to tell you this. God's going to get a hold of you one way or the other. I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what you're going through in your life. And I don't know what place you're at in your life. But God does. And if it takes flipping a boat to get a hold of Him, you got to do it. If it takes you passing out behind the steering wheel, He'll do it. If it takes taking a loved one from you, He'll do it. If it takes you losing a significant other or whatever it may be, He'll do it. If it takes you, takes Him blinding you so He can open your eyes that you might see, He will do it. That is the power of God. God can work in all ways. And it's for His honor and for His glory. What I was doing was for my honor and my glory. As Jonathan was talking about his singing. He said if he could sing like Clint, he would be singing it for his glory, not be singing it for the right reason. That's why God didn't give him that voice. But He gave you the looks, Jonathan. Folks, God knows our gifts and God knows our talents. And I can tell you something tonight. When God called me to preach, I said, who am I? Moses. Who in the world is Tyler Frazier to get up and preach? Can I tell you something? And all my high school teachers that watch this right now, I weaned my way through high school to give speeches. Because I hated to do it. But God, who was rich in mercy and His grace, gave me the ability, gave me the courage, gave me the strength. Do I still get nervous? Absolutely. But it's God that's got us. And I look at my family and I look at us and I see us doing the things that we're doing. We do it for God's glory. So I want to ask you tonight, what has God done for you in your life? We can make a testimony hour out of this and everybody get up and share their testimony. But I guarantee you every one of us that are saved tonight has a testimony and has a story to tell. But if you're lost tonight, your testimony is getting ready to begin. If you would answer God's call, if you would answer His power, if you'll answer His work in Him, you'll have the same testimony. Because you can take what you've been through and take what's going on in your life and share it with so many people. I could write a book about my life, about where I'm at right now. Job wrote a book. God's book lays before us. That we might know the author, the creator, and His power, how it works. We're going to look for the next couple of days more at God's Word. We're going to look at His Son, Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at the end, how God's in the end. But tonight, folks, it's your Bible. Where's the power of God at? Is it working in your life? Is it stirring in your life? Is it stirring in your heart? Is He trying to draw you out of where you've been? Draw you out of that darkness. It's His effectual working. And it's by His grace and His mercy that we're saved tonight. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you backslidden in your life? Are you drawing away from Him and you need to come back running? Come back running tonight, Brother Clint.
Let's all stand together, Brother Gordon, bring us a song. Talking about the power of our Lord and what we know, what we believe concerning our salvation. I love history. I've mentioned this many times to the church. I love history. I love studying history. I love seeing those big events that took place in history. But what we know, what's the wondrous, wondrous gift of God's grace, what we know about that gift that He has given to us in our salvation, is that every bit, every act, everything that has ever worked or ever happened in history is God working to bring the gospel to His people.
Amen.
Absolutely everything.
Amen.
To bring the gospel to His people. Oh, power of our God. Wondrous, wondrous power. Listen, you can't burden Him.
That's right.
You cannot burden Him with too much.
Right.
You cannot burden. He is all power.
Mm-hmm.
All power. All the power of our God. Do you know Christ Jesus, our Lord tonight? As Brother Taylor's already mentioned, flee to Christ. Repent and believe on Him. He is salvation.
Amen.
He is Lord.
Amen.
He is the only way of eternal life.
Amen.
Believe on Him this night. Brother, what do you think?
Page 260 of the Green Book. Coming to the cross.
Amen.